Welcome to the Short Rod Show. You're talking with Ben. And that's it today. We are actually going to have a little bit of an intro here going to the next episode, which will be a repeat from last year around this time, actually, titled Diesel Powered Otter. And that's in light of all the recent developments and people getting just fired up like crazy on diesel heaters. And we'll have this this episode kind of as a throwback for you guys this week. Things have been a little bit crazy around Brett's house and my house as well, so we'll get you guys set up on that episode. But like I said, the diesel powered otter episode, pure gold. It's really cool stuff. And for reference, I'm still running the diesel heater in my otter lodge. It's been working out great. We'll have some more updates for you later on in this season as we continue to use it and just put it through its paces and just tell it like it is. So this was when I first installed it. So this episode's from January 30th, 2022. And last season, spent a lot of time researching, figuring out what I wanted to do with a diesel heater, what, you know, model, where I wanted to mount it, how it was going to work, did a little bit of trial and error with it, and felt like I had a pretty good handle on how to get it installed well. And so far, like I said, it's held up very well. So the debate goes on and on and on pages like Trick Your Trap. I don't know if guys are just getting into it a little bit harder recently, but I was impressed. It's like every other post on there is the debate between propane and diesel heaters, and the wood stove guys are getting involved. So I think you guys will really enjoy this episode again, and we'll be back at it out on the ice hopefully next weekend. Get some content out for you guys as usual. But yeah, listening every Sunday through the ice season, we'll keep cranking out episodes. All right, enjoy, guys. Welcome to the Short Rod Show. You're talking with Ben.
And you got Brett.
We're down in the studio today, guys. Kind of a rare moment through the middle of the winter
here. I know. It is nice to just record in the studio.
It is.
Just you can collect your thoughts a little bit more. We're not distracted.
Nice and warm down here.
Yep.
Heck yeah.
I feel like awesome. We do a little bit better staying on topic, kind of yeah. Talking about or explaining our thoughts in more detail than when we're fishing, because then yeah. you're split here. Thoughts and
a lot easier to follow the conversation when yeah. We're not going there's a fit.
That
one cool so thanks for joining us, everybody. We're cranking out episodes all through the ice season here. We're getting a pile of new listeners. It's yep. Pretty cool to see lots yeah. Of new people commenting on stuff.
That live action episode, yeah, really we hit a new vein of listeners, and mm-hmm. You can tell in the downloads
yep.
That it pops up a little bit quicker now than what it did
prior. The live previous. Action cats really got people fired up.
Yep. Yeah. That got me fired up. Still gets me fired up.
I know. That was such a great.
Now I just need fish. To tackle a few walleyes. Hopefully yep. This weekend.
Yep.
We'll change that.
That'd be sweet. But yeah, what are we talking about today, Brett?
Well, I think it's going to be more of a Ben episode.
The Ben hour.
I've been at home the last week and a half. We had some COVID exposure. So we were trying to be responsible with that.
But you made it through.
Made it through. No one got sick, so that was good. Thank goodness. Just because we have little ones at home and all that and stuff. But, yep, so made it through all that. So Ben made it out. He's been making some mods. He's been getting some work done ice fishing-wise. So
been busy.
We're going to chat a little bit about Big Creek Adventure.
Yep.
Pounding the crappies.
Yep.
And the diesel heater.
Yeah. Everyone's fired up about that.
Oh, I'm fired up about it. You showed me it today, this evening, and it is freaking sick. It's so small.
Awesome. Yep.
And it puts out so much heat.
Yep. It's amazing.
It is impressive.
Yeah. It's going to be a good episode, guys. Can't wait for you guys to hear it. I know everyone's been fired off a post here while we're recording, and
yep.
Everyone is all about it. Got yep. Questions on the diesel heater. So wanted to lay most of it out for you guys and then chat about, man, that crappie through the ice was...
Yeah.
Man, that's so cool.
That was a big cool. Dog.
Yep. Yeah, awesome.
So let's dig into the fish first.
So, yeah, that fish was not my personal best crappie, but it's probably it's the biggest one on Big Creek I've caught.
Yeah.
And it's probably the biggest one I've caught through the ice in a while.
I mean, since that one here in town?
Yeah, and I had the bump board and everything, which normally I don't. Yeah. I don't have a tape. Don't have a bump board. You're like holding it up against a rod. Like, oh, it's a 15. Well, yeah, yep. Maybe. Maybe not. So this
looked
is on
like
the bump board.
Just
that's
got
cool.
done eating half a school of shad.
Oh, man.
That
thing
was so fat.
Yep, it was fat. That was pretty cool. But yeah, ended up getting out last weekend. Loaded up the quad, loaded up the
last
the
weekend,
outer.
That would be, what date would that be? The 18th?
Yep.
Yeah.
There you go. Yep. And so, okay, before I went there, I was researching all the ice conditions, right? Because there's this guy talking about a big ice heave and you got to watch out. And there's all the snow over top and be careful out there. I really didn't see anything.
Well, it'd been cold for long enough then at that point.
I think it was good.
Yep.
Pile of people out there.
Good.
Definitely lots of people getting out. Actually saw a conservation officer. Nice lady stopped me.
Yep.
Pulling in off the quad and tried to
here
tried
in January.
To get me.
January seems to be the prime time to get stopped. Just checking licenses and all that.
Yeah, she was super cool, super nice. Of course, if you guys are familiar, if you guys are from Iowa, you know the Iowa Outdoors app is just awesome.
Yeah.
Keep your license right in on there.
Is that what you had? There you go. You showed them your Iowa Outdoor
no
app.
Problems. Yep.
Sweet.
Wish you could do that with quad registration, too.
They don't do that?
I don't think so. Huh. No. I had the paper registration and the sticker and all that. But
yeah.
So that was cool. Ramp was very slippery. Heading down on the
east
ramp.
But what time did you get out there, man?
About noon.
Noon, yeah. See, that's the nice thing I like about Big Creek. Yeah. At least from what I've found, is very much, if you're going to find a bite, it'll be during the day.
Yeah, yep. Yeah,
you don't have to
slow down too,
you don't have
bad.
To just be stuck to the early morning periods and evening periods.
Yep.
Which there are, I mean, their fish are biting then, but
yep,
they'll bite all day.
Yep. And then my buddy Luke came out, met me out there. That was super cool after he got the kids down for their nap. Came out.
That's usually key.
Yep. We were debating on whether to do the same play as a couple weeks ago.
Oh, sitting over the brush piles?
Some brush pile, bluegills.
Yep.
And we just went for broke. We just went right for...
Let's go see what the crowd's doing.
Let's see. Yep. And
turns out they are catching fish over there.
I don't know if anybody else was. Man, some of the posts I see now, nobody's catching anything.
Yeah. Oh, well,
everybody's quiet.
I saw somebody asked, how's the fish on Big Creek? And somebody posted, straight butt cheeks.
Perfect. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, that I was pretty proud of myself. That was the first time I got out, running my own map, set my own waypoints. Made a waypoint on the kitchen table, was like, all right, this has to be a good spot. Here's some features that we talk about.
Yep.
Steep drop-offs, access to creek channel, deep-ish water, definitely. And I went for it. Luke and I were like, yeah, let's try it. So go out there, go right on the spot. I mean, we were like the spot on the spot.
Nice.
Pop three holes, flip the otter over, sat there the rest of the night.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Which is super cool. Yeah, Brett's going to steal the waypoint here.
Well, where the heck am I even looking at here? Where am I?
Oh, you're way over on the Mississippi.
Oh, I was like, what the heck?
Yeah, hit stop panning and it'll go right.
I thought I did. There you
go. Yeah, that's better. Pulling up the waypoints here. But yeah, definitely there can't be enough said about having access to maps, GPS. Had all my maps from my quick draw contours that I referenced from running over in the summer, make them a little more accurate.
Makes a huge difference. So I'm very proud of you, Ben, actually, because usually that's my job when we go out fishing.
That's the map master.
I'm finding the spots, and Ben's fine-tuning the bait, usually is how we work in tandem. But I'm very proud that you're out there. You got maps with you now, and you're putting them to use. And it is kind of a good feeling, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
To me, that's the addicting part is when you pick out your spot, you do it all, like, because I'm more of a kind of a DIY kind of, I'm going to do it. I've done the guide thing and it's fine if you're just going to go relax and have a couple beers, but I like doing it myself.
Yep. Absolutely. There's something to be said about that. It gives you a good feeling.
Yeah. Makes you feel like you kind of know something.
Yep.
When maybe you don't, but it makes you think you do.
Had a good day. That was a good time. Fishing deep water, which for us, that's 30 feet.
Yeah. I was going to say, describe a little bit of the spot that you're on, that you picked out on the kitchen table here.
So it's off of a creek channel, so the original kind of channel running through the lake. Access to pretty deep water, steeper drop-offs available as well. But then, and Luke found this on his camera, the contours below us were pretty sweet. It definitely was pretty rough. It had plenty of, yeah.
Dude, a lot of bottom
content. A lot of bottom content.
Yeah, yep, yep. Just a lot of different stuff. You just got to look up crappie gold. That's what it's on.
Oh, that's the spot.
Yeah, I see where you're there at. There it is. I see your spot.
I renamed
your it. Your color palette is straight butt cheeks on this thing.
What do you mean? I got every single kind of depth.
Yeah, I know. The color palette, I can't understand it. Yeah, I don't know what pink means. I don't know what pink means.
Pink's pretty deep, I thought.
Pink's deep. Okay. That's what she said.
Where are you even at?
Crappie gold right there.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. There you go.
Yeah, you're right. And you're kind of on the deep edge, right?
Yep.
Yeah, you're not on the shallow. You slipped off the deep edge of that of your break. Looks like you got some even deeper water nearby. But then it's almost like this is how James Holtz would describe it.
Oh boy.
You're on the opening to kind of like a little feeding chute, like yep. a little place where the fish would come up if they wanted to come up shallow to feed. They'd work their way up this little yep. the little flat there. To feed.
Yep.
And you were just intercepting them there before
yep.
they got, while they were looking to get
so
going.
So what was cool about the spot too was we saw fish constantly.
The fish, you desirable fish?
No idea.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought you had the camera.
Well, we couldn't find any on the camera. Visibility uh-huh. was...
Butt cheeks.
butt cheeks, exactly. There was stuff floating in the water. It was really dark. Infrared light kind of could shine maybe a foot or yeah. ish. Couldn't really see any fish, but definitely had marks moving in and out. Stuff was going all around.
Yep.
And I bet our actual hookup percentage of catching fish that we saw was probably about 2 or 3%.
How about fish that would interact with your bait?
Probably about 10%.
If they came to look at it, you had much better option.
Not that great. So stuff. When you guys think about, oh, it's just hammer time out there. No, it was enough to keep us entertained, and it was a lot of fun, but it wasn't just...
But that's because you were in fish. If you weren't in that spot where the fish were at...
Oh, yeah, you wouldn't see
you would have had a hell of a time.
Yeah, you would have... That's what guys are talking about, you know, just going for a while without seeing fish.
I mean, you just got to... And at that point, so you... I mean, for all purposes, you got lucky that the spot that you picked happened to have fish on it at that time during that day.
Yep.
And, yeah, pound town.
But yeah, it was pretty cool. So
if it wouldn't have happened... You just keep looking until you find them. I mean.
Well, yeah. And I was prepared to do that.
Yeah.
Whatever you got to do, run around on the quad.
Yep.
It seemed like everyone's pretty much posting up. You know, they were just kind of hanging out where they were going to hang out.
Yep.
Pretty quiet out there.
Well, give me a rundown on the baits. What do you have an idea of what everyone was running?
Everybody else? No.
No, with you. That were with you guys.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
You and Luke and Andrew.
We flipped around almost... I mean, to a bunch of different stuff. Mostly, the best success was the tungsten droppers with some plastics on it.
Really? Yep. Plastic?
Yep. True North, shout out to you guys.
What were you running?
The Baby Invader.
Ooh, nice.
So that's a small profile plastic. It's not like super small. It's not like noogie small.
Yeah. I like, I've seen that they got the mini Mayfly.
Uh-huh.
Meh fly.
Mm-hmm.
That one really has my attention.
I tried that.
Oh, you got one of those?
Yeah, I didn't get any fish on it, but...
Oh, but I didn't know you had the mini ones.
Yeah, I tried that. Yeah, so that was cool. It's about an inch long, you know, white kind of off-white plastic.
Yeah, I've heard the white. White usually is almost always my color to go. White and yellow.
Yep, and that's what did it for the big crappie. And that was kind of disappointing because the fight on that fish was not a lot.
Butt cheeks.
it was basically came in 20 feet out of 30 feet.
Yep.
Came in, had to coax him a lot, had to get him to chase, did exactly what we were talking about, pulling it away.
So
and,
once
and
he was able to
catch, what they wanted.
Finish your thought, and I want to break that. I want to dive into that a little bit.
Yeah, that's my thought.
Okay. so as you were pulling it away, did you notice, if you let him catch up to it, that's when he would just kind of stop and stare? Or what? Do you have an idea of what was happening once he finally ate? Were you pulling it away when he came to bite it?
Yeah. Yep.
So maybe you needed to be more aggressive.
Yeah, and that's where those fish, the aggressive fish, were the ones that wanted to chase. All the other fish that we saw, you could you know, pull it away. They do just different go. Jigging They're cadences. It didn't matter.
Yeah. Yep. And those ones you're not going to get.
Yep.
At the end of the day.
They just didn't want
to
eat.
So you got to get something chase. To engage with you. But I think a lot of times, and I fall victim to this, is I just get too, I'm not aggressive enough. Mm-hmm. Like, you want them to chase it. And then at that point, if they're in the mood to chase and they're like, yes, I'm going to get this thing, they forget about what it looks like. They don't care. They're just, I'm going to catch that and I'm going to put it in my mouth.
Yep.
Yep. And I think that's a,
and we caught a decent amount of crappies. They were all pretty good size. Luke caught a little bit on the smaller end. He's kind of mad about that.
What was he running for bait?
He was running some spikes. And man, I can't remember what kind of, he was running a, tried a couple spoons, like the leech flutter spoon.
Yep.
Got some bites on it. Couldn't get to connect.
I tell you what is nice to hear,
though. Had a big one on that.
Is that he did have some smaller crappies.
Yep.
Is that there's a smaller class coming in behind these 13,
true.
13 and a half inches that are in there right now.
Yep.
Yeah, that's good to hear.
Yep. Future's looking bright.
Yep.
You just got to be able to find them, get them to bite, catch them.
And you'll get them.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep, definitely.
But he did have something big on.
He had something big. Man. Yep. Just
probably a wiper.
Crappy clam hooks, basically.
Wiper.
Did that end. Yep. 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 And broke off about halfway up. So
broke off.
Well, didn't break off.
Oh, he popped off.
Yeah, popped off. So.
Okay. I was saying when you said hooks. Crappy clam hooks and broke off, I was like, the hooks broke. The hook broke my in God. Half.
Not quite. So that was pretty cool. And like I said, there was a little bit of a night bite. We caught some after dark.
Yep.
Pretty much gave it up about 7. We were packing it in, but
yeah, I think. It's difficult for me to do it at this point in my life, but I feel like an early morning trip would be the way to go. Yep. Like, get out there at like 4 in the morning. Know your spot that you want to go to. You're not going to do a bunch of hole hopping and exploring at 4 in the morning. But in my experience, at least open water, early morning is the time to be on Big Creek.
Oh, yeah.
But you want to be the first person to, if you have a spot in mind, you want to be the first person there and fish it first than anyone else.
Absolutely.
Has always been the key to me, for me anyways.
So what was fun about that trip too, met up with Fishing Kit.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Saw him out there.
Crushing him.
He was doing pretty good. So that's cool. His video coming up, that'll be sweet.
So when you say you met up with Fishing Kit, you said you picked out the spot preemptively picked out the spot.
I did.
Or did you actually just
I did.
See that he was out there and you're like, I'm just going to go fish next to this
So
guy.
We were surprisingly close.
It just happened to work out.
But it just happened out. It was pretty funny. I didn't even know he was there for the first few hours.
Yeah.
Until he sends a picture. He's like, is this you guys? Like
picture of the quad.
Yep. Holy crap.
He's need to get a flag or something. Right,
yeah, we do need a short rod show flag.
I don't know if I want that kind of attention all the time. But
no kidding. Yeah, so that was pretty cool. Man, what else happened out there? Did look not a catching cook, but a fish fry.
Bring cook.
Had two walleyes and 6 perch that caught up on, you on should, Cass Lake.
You, did you tell people that you should just been, caught these walleye perch here today, right now?
Perfect.
You would have had a village
living
around you if people would have heard about that.
You know, I can't fillet out a walleye like that. And perfect pant leg walleye.
Yeah, the zipper.
Oh, my gosh. They were good. Did it right. Some Cajun shore lunch.
Nice.
Man, it was good.
I've tried a lot, and it's still tough to beat the Cajun shore lunch.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, buddy Andrew came out for the first time in a couple years. He hasn't fished for ice fish for a while.
Yep.
He loved that stuff. It was good.
Nice. Breaking your cooking setup a little bit. Give us a rundown.
So, the stove I got just runs off a 1-pound cylinder, and it's just a little.
Ozark Trail deal, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a Walmart propane stove. So, what's funny about that is this year it seems like I can't get enough heat in it. Like it does not put out as much heat as it should. You remember last year we were always dialing it down and like
you were burning
trying
oil.
To figure I don't know what the deal is. Maybe it's just windier and colder right now.
Might just be getting old too. I mean it's a cheap Ozark chain.
Yeah, it's like $15.
So what it does, it's got its own little base. I don't know if you still have the base, but it mounts to the bottom of the propane cylinder to give it a little wider base. But then the actual burner part just mounts to the top of that cylinder.
Yep.
It's not like a stove or anything. It's just a little burner on there. And it's super slick.
Yep.
And small profile.
Cook whatever you want.
Easy to bring
along. Boil some water.
That'll be a little bit of a pain in the butt for you now. As we get into the diesel heater part, is that you're no longer be carrying the
oh no that's
1 pound propane tanks as much anymore.
I got my sportsman's case, it's got three in it.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, I just packed that full.
Maybe that's what you need to start doing. Yeah. Also, now I'm just having this thought right now, is in the bottom of that sportsman's case, start racking up maybe like a battery bank in there, and then just start running all your stuff to run power through there.
Do that, yeah.
Like your lights and mm-hmm. the diesel heater and maybe like an auxiliary USB stuff off the front.
Yep.
Switches. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud right now.
I know. People do power boxes out of those. I don't know.
You don't like it?
I like having the storage, because that's kind of like the one spot that I know there's always going to be stuff that I need.
Yep.
Is right in there. Yep. And that I have like spare gloves, spare hat, like stuff that would ruin your trip if you don't have it.
Yeah. You know? That's what my Striker rod case has turned into now. Also, like, I keep the essentials in there. So all mm-hmm. I know all I got to do is grab that.
And you're good.
And I'm out.
Yep.
You that and an auger, it. And I'm out of there.
Yep.
Yep.
That is nice having that option. Because then otherwise, I mean, man, it sucks just forgetting stuff. Or, this is in my light setup and I'm bringing my shelter today, so I don't have that tool.
Or it's
I don't
buried in the bottom of your shelter.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff.
But yeah, mine is, definitely.
Yep. So back to the cooking setup.
Yeah.
So you got the burner.
Yep.
Mounted up there. What else you got out there?
A couple cheap pans, which I got a couple in here that I need to probably take
these
back
are,
out.
These are
dollar store specials.
MIRRO brand. Myro brand. No 8-inch.
There you go.
Actually, this looks like it would be a real nice pan to bring
just
with
just a nice
you.
Little frying pan.
Well, it's a nice, kind of a little bit deep.
Yeah. Yep.
Some of that's kind of key.
You know, half
a bottle of canola oil. You're not always on a level surface. And,
yep.
So I have kind of a deeper pan.
See, I mount my tank in a little bit of snow so I can level it out.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And then I have a little tote full of Ziploc bags, have metal tongs for flipping the fish.
Yep.
Paper plates.
Filet knife.
Two filet knives now.
Because that way you're not doing it by yourself.
Yeah. That sucked.
One thing I think you need to really step up your game is maybe a thicker cutting board.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it'd take up some space and be a little bit annoying.
I bought
but like something that's like 1.5 or 2 inches thick.
Okay. Yeah.
Because at least the trend in my household on cutting boards has turned into a surface, so you don't cut your countertop.
Oh, okay.
And which is completely defeats the purpose of the cutting board, because I need that raised surface so I can get my fillet knife down.
Yep.
And I can make a nice flat cut.
Yep.
I mean, I've got a couple of those cutting boards, but.
There you go.
They're designated for fish cutters.
So I had a nice bamboo one, but that one got broken because I think I stepped on it.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Dang it. I have a plastic one we'll bring.
Cutting board, good.
Yep, for our next
trip. Something
trip.
Just to get off the ice a little bit so you don't freeze your fingers off.
Definitely.
Filleting on a bucket's not ideal.
No.
Filleting on the ice isn't ideal.
No.
yeah.
No, it's all cold and it's a little messy.
Hot tip. Cutting board makes a huge difference.
But what I like about that setup though is small enough, it stores in a tote in the otter
and you leave it there. It's there all the time.
Yep. I got everything I need if we catch something, we want to do a catch and cook, you get hungry.
Yep.
No big deal.
The only hiccup I could see that happens maybe is that the oil will freeze.
It does. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I mean, eventually it'll thaw out, I suppose. But
yeah, you can thaw it out.
Or you could just pan cook it, I guess, if you had to cook the fish and not fry it.
I don't know.
Be the end of the world.
It's got to get real cold for it to really freeze, like 20 below.
Yeah.
But you can, it was, I don't know, 10, 15 degrees out and it still flows.
Yep.
You can still get some out of it.
Yep.
That turned out good. Had a little supper out there. Had a good old time. Got off the lake by 7:30.
Yeah, I mean, you can't beat it. That's the beauty of this time of year also is it gets dark so early, so prime time happens pretty early.
One thing that happened, so I got the quad stuck by myself once.
Okay.
Before Luke got there, I ran right into where I was zoomed in on the spot. I got to get to the spot. All right.
You're not paying attention to in between.
Yep.
Yeah.
Stick it right through like 1.5 feet of pretty soft snow. Like it hadn't crusted over the top and I sank right to the bottom and just sit there and spin.
Yeah.
So, what's nice about the quad that we have is it's just light. You can pick it right back up.
Yep.
Unhitch the otter. Then it went, no problem. Zipped around, whipped it around, flipped the otter around, hooked it back up, went backwards.
Do you think? So the way the wheelbase is set up is you got kind of those smaller skinny tires up front for steering, and you have big float tires on the back.
Yep.
Do you think it would be beneficial to try to get some rims that have a little bit bigger wheels on the front. So you get little wider wheels.
Or tires. To like cut through stuff.
Well, you'd float over the top a little bit easier, maybe.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
And you get a little better grip on the ice, maybe.
Yeah. It's not the front tires that...
Yeah.
No.
Well, I just meant maybe it'd help it ride up over the top of it. I don't know.
It like, by the time I got on top of that, it had to pull so hard to get the otter through it. Yeah, you're just digging in. That just dug in.
Yeah.
And then you're just toast.
That doesn't do any good then.
Yeah. Yep. So that was pretty fun to do that and then see all these guys with the huge quads that are just four-wheel drive everywhere bombing around.
But the problem with those is if you get stuck, you're fucking stuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need several people to come help you out.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. I just hopped out, lifted the front end up, spun it around. All right.
That's what my grandpa always said or would say. I distinctly remember this. He passed away when I was pretty young. But what do you need four-wheel drive for? It's just going to get you stuck further
even
into
more.
Some shit that you should not be in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a great point. Absolutely. Yep.
Never had a four-wheel drive truck until he was real old.
Yep. There's a few guys. Well, actually, so on Facebook, one of the guys we met had a question on quads, and of course, I had to chime in.
Yeah,
he's like, "What quad should I get?" I'm like, "Here, get one of these."
Yeah, $800,
like
all day long.
Yep, they're pretty sweet.
Pull start.
Yep,
nothing to. I mean,
just old reliable.
Fail proof.
Yep, and so we were pulling pretty dang hard with that thing to get across.
Well,
the
first gear, it'll run.
Oh, yeah.
There ain't a whole lot that's gonna stop it.
Yep,
it'll lose traction before it stops running.
Yep, absolutely. So that was cool. It was a good fishing trip. It was nice to get out on a Saturday, spend a good chunk of the day there, and really, you know, I was planning on fine-tuning, breaking down a bite, okay, trying this spot, and then give it a few minutes, try over here, try over here. We just saw fish the whole time, which is cool.
Yeah, that's legit.
Yep.
Nice. So there is a reason.
Keeps you engaged.
There is a reason that the crowd is over there.
Yes.
So it's not always bad to go check out, at least check out what the crowd's doing.
Yeah. Yep. It didn't seem to
honestly,
hurt.
Me, if I was over by myself or just going out there, I never would have even looked at those spots because I'm like, oh, the whole crowd's over there. I'm not going over there.
Too busy. Luke did mess with my Garmin too, trying to get the lag figured out. It's a little bit better on traditional graph with A-scope where it shows you, you know, your marks while it's keeping track of it, but it's still
laggy.
Not great. So. Shout out, Granny's going to help out with that.
Maybe.
From Mop Pop Fishing.
Maybe.
He's got all the answers. So that'll be pretty cool. We'll try that out this weekend here, see if we can get it going a little better.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to get better. Can't be doing that.
Yeah, so if you guys hadn't heard, that's on my 73 SV Garmin. I'm running I think it's the GT10.
I have no idea. It's whatever came with my Panoptix bundle.
Yeah, so it's made for a 73 CV.
Yep.
And I had to get an adapter from Garmin to do like 12-pin, 4-pin up to 12-pin or 8-pin up
pin
to 12-pin.
Yeah.
And it just, the lag is terrible.
Dang.
Like in flasher mode, it really is not great. So makes it pretty hard to fish. So I fished with my LX6, which I got back from Garmin.
Markham.
Got that working.
Runs good.
I did get a new transducer.
Ooh, nice.
So, boom, score.
So it's worth it.
I don't know if it was worth it. I mean, that's probably a $2 part they replaced on a resistor and the
$90
transducer for $140. But, hey, it's fixed. It's working good. I'm happy. All is right with the world again. Good.
Yeah. Yeah, I was when you said that went down, and then after your recon went down, I was very down on Markham, but very high on their customer service.
I don't know.
Or at least their warranty plan.
Yeah.
Although it does cost you $140.
Well, yeah, it's an out of warranty repair, but they'll fix whatever is broke. So.
Yep.
To your point, it's a $500 unit, so it's worth putting $140 into.
Yep.
If I get another 10 years out of it, cool.
Yep.
Good to go.
For sure.
And I sure can't fix it myself.
No, not that sort of stuff. No.
Who knows?
But. So. Well, you got anything else to talk about on Big Creek?
No, that's the big news. That's pretty cool. So check it out on Facebook. See the picture of my crappie.
Yeah.
That's almost a wall hanger. If it would have fought harder.
If it would have hit 15, I would have really leaned in on
you. For me, it's about the experience. Like if that one would have fought hard and it was like, all right, sweet, I got a live one on.
Yeah.
Then it would have been worth doing like a replica mount for. Yeah. But
I'm all about... speaking of mounting stuff and going a little tangent, I like the hammered copper mounts.
Mm-hmm.
I think those look sick.
Yep.
Those will be the mounts I get. Yeah. I won't ever get a skin or any of that stuff.
Yeah. That holds up replicas. A lot better, too.
I like that copper.
You know, your kids' kids' kids will be passing that down.
I mean, it's probably the most expensive option of all of the options, but...
Start melting down your pennies.
It looks pretty sick. Well, yeah, but they're zinc, mostly. Yeah, no. That's the problem.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, so you want to talk diesel heater? What everyone's
Well, let's
been
go to break
for?
First.
Oh, man. Yeah, let's break I'm just up. All excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should.
Tell people to go buy our merch.
There you go. All right, that'll be coming up next on...
The Short Rod Show. Ben, where have you been? We've got a Short Rod Show episode to drop here in a half an hour.
Ah, shoot. I've been outside blowing snow in my driveway for the last hour. Jeez, give me a break, Brett.
Man, you just got to hire that out.
I don't know. Like, how would I find someone that could do it?
I don't know. I just look up on Google.
Yeah, that could work, but how do I know they're any good?
All I know is that the best companies use Evergrow Marketing to show up on Google.
Yeah, that's a good point. I know Evergrow Marketing is a digital marketing agency that provides straightforward solutions for local service businesses.
Yeah, but what does that mean?
Well, Brett, it means if your business relies on leads and inquiries from your surrounding area, they'll take care of your website, make sure you're showing up on search engines like Google, and make your phone ring with new business. They've worked with landscaping and lawn care companies, roofing contractors, car dealers, hospitals, banks and credit unions, and more. If you own or work for a business that could use a little help with the digital side of your marketing, check them out over at evergrowmarketing.com.
Also, tell them that Ben and Brett over at the Short Rod Show sent you, and they'll knock 10% off your first bill.
You know, Brett, I was poking around on Facebook the other day, and I could just not find the Short Rod Show. What's the deal?
Oh, you just got to punch us in on Google.
What do you mean? We show up on Google already?
Oh, yeah. The Evergrow team hooked us up.
Holy cow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Good deal. I'll try that now.
Yeah, right. You just punch in Short Rod Show, and we'll come up on our website, shortrodshow.com. It'll come up on Podbean, Stitcher, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts.
Awesome. So people can find us all over now.
Yeah, all over the internet.
That's great. We're also on Instagram, too. I've been trying to keep up with that, posting some cool pictures. When we're out on the ice, you can check us out there, too.
Yeah, sweet updates.
Awesome. Check us out, guys.
All right, guys. Welcome back to the Short Rod Show. We just wrapped up our Big Creek conversation. Now we're going to dive in deep dive into diesel heaters.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a little bit of a myth. Like, you see people, some people have them, but nobody really knows a lot about them. They're a little bit too good to be true, maybe.
For ice fishing, there's not a lot of info out there.
No.
Now, when I first started looking at them, there's a ton of info out there from other countries. Like,
yeah, and that makes you a little sketchy.
Way
sketches you out a
little
bit about it.
Yeah. So, and even if you look on YouTube, like 90% of the Chinese diesel heater stuff is all in the UK and Australia.
Yep.
But the reason that is, I found out, propane's very expensive and not very popular there.
Oh.
Diesel and kerosene.
Very
cheap.
Popular.
Yep. Yep.
Cheap. Kerosene's cheap over there?
Kerosene, supposedly in the UK, don't quote me on this, but some guy on Facebook said kerosene's cheaper there than diesel. I don't know.
Kerosene is like
burning
gold up here around here.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, you wouldn't dare do that.
No.
$5 a gallon up here. But... yeah, so it's interesting. So if you guys have been following along, the Chinese diesel heater has like intrigued me for at least a couple years, because in my background in the diesel industry, I mean, I have experience with these from Webasto and Espar. Those are the two German companies that they pioneered this technology. They've been doing it for 40, 50 years, whatever, and they just have these heaters finely tuned for different applications. So like overlanding camping vans, RVs, semi-trucks, Arctic conditions where, you know, you want something that can keep your truck.
It's not going to fail.
Yeah, you want something that'll keep your truck warm while it's parked in the tundra, you know, so it'll start when you want it to. They have coolant type ones and air type ones. So the coolant ones... I'm really familiar with. They have a little, their heat exchanger basically is like a little radiator, and it heats that radiator up, and then water, you know, your coolant pumps through it, and then it pumps that back through your engine.
Keep
and
your
it's
engine
basically
warm.
Just like your engine running all the time, except you're using like a tenth of the amount of fuel or less to keep that going. So the air ones I didn't have as much experience with, but I did some deep dive research on to figure out how they work.
Yep.
And they're super simple. So apparently the patent ran out from Espar and Webasto.
Nice.
Their 20-year patent ran out a couple years ago. And the industry just saw that, okay, an Espar heater is $700-800.
Okay.
At least.
Yeah.
They figured out, oh, why don't we make these for $20 and we'll sell them for $100.
Yep.
And people love them.
Yeah.
So that's probably what they're doing.
I mean,
$20.
If it was any more of a like a life and death have to rely on this application, I probably wouldn't rely on the one you bought.
Yeah, if you're fitting out your RV or something.
If we were going, 20 miles into the tundra and that was the only heat source we had for 3 days, we're spending money on the $700.
I might bring two of them.
Yeah, exactly.
And just swap them. Have the but tools for what to swap
it
is,
it for $100.
Yeah,
it's a deal and a half.
Yeah. So the part. So you guys on the channel here on the podcast, I really want to give you guys good content.
Yeah.
And have something
good review.
Yeah. So I didn't want to buy, like the top level Chinese one. They make ones that are $250.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. What's the difference, so really wanted some entertainment value too. So I went lowest of the low.
Cheapest you could get.
It was $109 shipped from eBay to my door. Came out of a container like we talked about in California.
Yeah.
Showed up at my door and got delayed, of course, because FedEx.
Always FedEx delays.
Stuff. Yeah. Showed up at my door, and then I spent last weekend after the fishing trip kind of checking it out, fitting it.
Yeah.
I ran it a little bit just to make sure it actually turned on.
Yeah, before you did all the work.
Stuff like that before I mounted it, because I was like, well, yeah, who knows. So anyway, I'll leave a link to the one that I have. It's a 2-kilowatt model. And that's 2,000 watts of heat, which is kind of goofy. It's not like BTUs or...
A little misleading.
I don't know. I don't know how you
I don't tell. Know the conversion. I'm sure there's a conversion.
I was kind of almost thinking like household space heaters, like 1,500 watts.
Oh, sure.
Maybe that's the same kind of thing. So this is a little bit more. I don't know. I just figured I wanted something small, compact.
Yep.
I don't need the 5-kilowatt, which is, more than double... It's bigger.
Yep.
Really don't need that. I didn't think so. At the very least, I figured if I got too big, I'd have to open a window or, I really don't want the thing roaring in the background too bad. So anyway, so got the 2-kilowatt model and they make self-contained units and they make bear units. I got the bear unit. So that's mount it yourself wherever you want. The self-contained units are like a little suitcase thing.
Yeah.
It's got the fuel tank on top, the heater on the bottom.
And you just run it. Power it, and that's it.
Yeah. I don't know how you mount those really, but the bear model, I was like, sweet. I think I kind of have an idea where I want to mount it. So we'll have some videos on this too.
Yeah.
So you guys can kind of see how my setup is. But in the Otter and in a lot of sleds, you have, of course, the front slope of the sled, right? And I figured it would be sweet if I could mount the heater there.
Because you can't store anything there.
It's always kind of just, it's there.
A little awkward
you
spot.
Know? Yep. And you can. It worked out really well.
Mounted right on there.
The only thing with those heaters, you can mount them sideways, but you got to have the glow plug up.
Yep.
And that just so happened where when I mounted that, the air outlet was pushing out towards, the front or the side where you sit. And the intake is on the other side, so... Perfect
situation.
Yep, absolutely.
Nice.
So it's really pretty slick to mount. I need to work on it a little bit more and kind of fine tune it. But a couple holes through the sled for the exhaust and the air intake.
Yeah. So what kind of footprint is this thing taking up in the sled then, like size wise?
See, I was trying to compare it like a loaf of bread is how
It might not even be that long.
Yep.
Might
so that's loaf. The heater itself. You have an external fuel pump that you need to mount somewhere, and you have the fuel tank, which this fuel tank...
The fuel tank is the most awkward part.
Yeah, I had no choice in like what I was going to get. This fuel tank's huge. It's probably like a 3 or 4 gallon fuel tank. That lasts you
the whole season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huge.
If you fill that thing full.
But it's relatively flat. It's like 3 inches wide, maybe.
Yeah.
So mounted that to the side of the sled. This is all on the inside. And the main draw for these heaters are it's like a furnace. You have your combustion air separated from your interior heat space. Air.
Yep.
And it's got a heat exchanger in it. So usually that means you're pretty safe.
Yep.
you're not gonna be breathing in carbon dioxide and that kind of thing. You still want to have a meter with you.
Yep.
So I have a carbon monoxide detector in the shelter just to be safe.
Yep.
Because if that heat exchanger does crack, then that's an issue.
Then you're going to get exhaust in there.
Yep.
But go into your test that you did, because I thought this was super interesting.
Yeah. So the other thing I wanted to test on these, because it's Chinese and it's $100,
you never know what you're
right?
going
to
get.
A Big Buddy heater's over $100.
Yep.
You know, when I bought mine, it was like 120 or something. Yep. So, and you don't know what you're going to get. So I did a test run. I ran the heater on high for 4 hours, just nonstop, got real hot in there, ran a exhaust gas analyzer or an analyzer that can measure carbon dioxide, your oxygen level too, in case it's getting low or, you know, have an issue there, and red zeros the entire time.
That's a big deal.
Good to go.
That's a very big deal.
So feel pretty good about that. You're not going to get, you know.
I feel like that's a big deal for the, like, ice camping is picking up big time.
It is, yep.
While it's still, you know, you still need the carbon monoxide detector no matter what, I think. But this is just another layer of protection if you want to go diesel heater route instead of your internal propane burner.
Yeah, and it's always just kind of sketchy burning. Yep. That much propane inside of a small space.
Yep, because you know you're putting out CO2 then at that point. I mean, that's happening. Yep. Or carbon monoxide.
Yep.
But.
Yeah, so that worked out really good. I was really impressed. The only thing that I think could affect that would be where your air intake is and your exhaust is.
Maybe they'd be pulling in.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think about the furnace on my house. The code is they just have to be a foot apart.
Mm-hmm.
You're easily a foot apart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I mean, I would think that would be fine.
Yep. And then having that sealed from the outside. So like if you have exhaust floating around, your outside of your shelter, and then it's getting pulled back in by your intake.
But
it's
still
fan.
Combustion.
Well, I'm talking the inside.
Oh
part.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Okay. Potentially.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you look at these heaters, like check out the Facebook post. You have an intake pipe that comes out and an exhaust pipe that comes out.
Yep.
And I routed my intake over on one side and the exhaust shoots out.
Yep.
And that's like fan driven.
But so this is still just your combustion stuff. That none of that air is getting pumped into your cabin.
Yep.
So I mean, even if you do suck in a little bit of exhaust, it won't run as efficiently probably.
Yeah, but.
But it's not a big deal.
No.
Where you're sucking in, the air that you're breathing is just circulating through your shack.
Yep. Yep.
So, I mean, and then that makes it even more efficient because now you're heating warm air at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Once you start warming up the air in your shack, now you're reheating warm air. Now you're just pushing out more heat. Then that's when you can start turning her down.
And so the draw to this as well would be the controller that you can fine tune the exact amount of heat that you want.
Yeah,
so,
the controls on this thing is overkill.
Man.
Way overkill.
All it does is figures out how many times per second to pulse the fuel pump.
Yep.
And how fast to run your fan. So that's all tied into how fast the fuel pump's running. So on low, this 2 kilowatt one is only running one pump per second.
Yep.
So it's like click, click.
That's the click, biggest click, problem I have with it.
Yep.
It's just on the inside, all you hear is just that you can hear the fuel pump pretty good.
The fuel pump is a little noisy.
Noise-wise, otherwise, though, it's very quiet if you have it on. Yep. On high, it's a little noisy, but anything,
it gets a little roar to it. So, you talked about, like, it's like a jet engine.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds
like.
But
once you turn it on low, you don't bother. It's not a big deal. Yeah. You hear a little bit of the fan and the fuel pump.
Yep.
But that's it.
I'm pretty excited to get on the ice and actually see people's reactions.
But I don't think anybody's going to notice it.
Just
hearing it? Turn it on loud? Just
yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. I think that'll be pretty cool. It turned out pretty good. I need to do a little heat insulation around the
you know what you need
the
to
outer
get
sled.
Is, like on your truck, you got that big old freaking dumbass exhaust. You get that on the front of your.
You should do that. A big old chrome pipe.
Roll some coal on there.
Yep. Yeah, it doesn't really smoke. I mean,
not
it.
Really.
does on startup a little bit, couple puffs of white smoke, and away it goes. So the other thing that was kind of the drawback to that heater would be the battery situation.
Mm.
Okay, so it pulls very little power while it's running, but it pulls a lot of power on startup and shutdown.
So running is just running the fan. It's running
and the fuel pump, which takes hardly anything. Yeah. So running, it's only taking 0.6 amps.
Yeah.
0.8 amps maybe on high.
Yep.
So that's not bad. That's kind of like your fish finder, basically, if you think about it that way, like a digital one. On startup, though, it'll pull 10 amps for a couple minutes.
For the glow plug.
Yep. So
get it heated up.
Run the Power Wheels battery right now because that can handle some pretty good loads.
Yep.
And it's just straight 12 volts, and I already had one hanging out. It's a 12 amp hour AGM. You know, nothing fancy.
Lead acid.
Yep. Well, just lead AGM, I guess.
I don't know what AGM means.
Glass mat. So it's like a fiberglass.
Internal? Inside?
There's no liquid in it.
Oh, okay.
Yep. It's like a gel.
Gotcha.
But that battery does pretty good with it. I don't think I'll get a whole day out of it, probably.
Yeah.
Just based on what I was reading for voltages on it. So what I'm working on right now, which I should have by this weekend, all set up and ready. But I want to put two DeWalt batteries side by side. Parallel those together off adapters. And I found a guy on eBay that does Power Wheels adapters. Legit. So they have thicker wires and I'll get some good voltage to it. And then I have a step down converter from 20 volt down to 12 volt.
Nice.
So with running that, that should get us at least a day, if not more, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Because that's the other thing. It's a pain in the butt running the Power Wheels battery. And then having to pull it out, charge it separately.
Being a separate thing,
Then it's like, okay. Yeah. Might as well just have my DeWalt power station plug four batteries in overnight and charge
it. Are you just
going
to bring that with you on the Mississippi?
Yeah.
Just the whole power station?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have 120 volts when we need it.
I'll just bring the generator also if we need it.
There you go. Charge back up. Leave her in the boat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. I was really impressed with
how it worked.
The quality is actually pretty good. It's cheap Chinese stuff.
But looking at it, it's such a nice, compact package.
Yep.
Like I said, I mean, the heater itself is only like maybe a square 4 inches and then about 12 inches long.
Yep.
Very impressed with it.
Yep. Pretty cool. And then you talked about some upgrades. So doing maybe a Y
on
coming
the
off
heat.
The heat output. To go over to the other side so you get dual outputs.
I think maybe we just need to see what it feels like on the ice first.
Yep.
Like if I'm over my – because you have the output right now kind of on your side. For some reason, I just always end up sitting on the left of the shack.
For whatever reason, I always go to that side. So
even in my own shack, I sit on the left side. Even when I'm by myself,
I sit on the left side.
I don't know why that is, but we'll just have to run it, and if I get cold, then I'll let you know.
Yep, see what it looks
Switch
like.
Switch sides.
Yep. I think that'd be good. But yeah, they make Y splitters and could add one other output, whatever, and make it work. Might do smaller. You could do two smaller outlets.
Yeah.
Would be fine.
Yeah. Thinking actually, I just had that thought with the ice camping thing again, is the all-in-one one that you had mentioned you'd still want to bring in air. Your intake air.
Yep.
You'd still want that coming from inside, I guess, but.
Yep.
Just so you'd reheat and warm air.
Yeah,
that might be a good deal to run.
Two hoses out
the
door or something.
That'd be a good deal to run ice camping, I think.
Yep.
Because then it's all just packaged together and you just run your combustion air outside and run it in and out. I think that'd be a slick deal.
Yep. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Because I'm starting to plan that more in my head here next year, after.
Good deal.
Thomas will be old enough. Henry will be ready to rumble.
Oh, yeah.
At least a night, I think. I think this year we're going to try some summertime camping stuff.
Yeah, I think that'd be
just
cool.
Just test the waters and
try
some ice camping. I think it'd be sick.
Because then that way you could put it in a hub too.
Yeah.
You know, it wouldn't just be.
Well, I can take it in my tent.
Yep.
If we want to do a little late fall camping.
Yep.
Deer camp.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be legit.
So the other thing that I want to touch on a little bit was the economy of running one of these.
Oh, yeah.
Because this year with propane, like, I don't know what happened over the past year, but propane cylinders, 1-pounders are like $7
now. And you can't, if you can find them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy. So, even 20-pound cylinders, you know, they're still 20 bucks to refill if you're lucky.
Yeah, 21.
Yep.
Sure.
Yep. So running a buddy heater on medium, I think, on a 20-pound cylinder, a big buddy, would run that thing out in a day. You know, that's 24 hours of runtime.
Yep.
This heater, from what I could calculate, which I want to do a little more scientific method of doing it, but...
We've got to get scales if you want to get real scientific.
Exactly. We'll be out weighing our diesel fuel.
Get some load cells on there.
Yeah. Yeah. Is in 24 hours on low... it would use a half of a gallon of diesel fuel.
So that's $1.50.
Yeah, a couple bucks.
Dang.
Yeah, on low. On high, you'd use a gallon and a half from what I calculated.
So $5.
Yep.
Well, that's bullshit.
Yeah. But that no, maybe that's so cheap. Maybe it'll be super cold and we need to run.
Well, and then just the convenience. I mean, you can get, it's a lot easier to get diesel in and handle anywhere. Diesel and contain diesel and you know, put it in a jug and carry it with you rather than always having the tanks with you.
People were always talking about, you're going to spill it, you're going to smell like diesel, all this stuff. I do anyway. Yeah. Like,
well, I mean, I think
I do at work all the time.
What was that last year when we went up to Lakeview and we ran out of propane?
Yeah.
And I ran to the gas station. They didn't have any propane.
Oh, yeah. We're
but you
toast.
Know what they did have? Diesel.
Yeah, absolutely.
We could have got some diesel.
Yep.
Or we could siphon out of the pickup.
Exactly.
You need to get a little...
I have one.
Little valve to open up. Oh, you do? Oh, off the filters?
Yeah, off the filters. We can drain it right in there.
Yes.
Easy. So we basically have the short rod show powered by diesel now.
That's like diesel and DeWalt.
Diesel and DeWalt. Driving with diesel, heating with diesel, everything.
That's legit. So,
yeah, pretty cool. But yeah, I'm sure you guys have a bunch of questions on it. We'll get to all those on Facebook.
Yeah, let's get some runtime on it first before we answer. If we're delayed on your questions, I want to get some runtime. Well, I want to get it on the ice and.
Oh yeah, agreed. Yeah, absolutely.
Because
we need to actually really.
When we were looking
it
at it, to me the weak points. If I'm gonna critique it at all, is that you have your fuel line running outside the shack a little bit,
which you have to because of the way that it's set up. Where it takes the fuel on the same side as
the exhaust,
the outside. So it's meant to run your fuel pump on the outside.
Okay.
Which I really don't want to do.
No. I wouldn't want any of that. I don't want any of that on the outside, actually.
Yeah. So, anyway.
And then your exhaust, where it's mounted, if you're plowing a bunch of snow, you might get some snow packed up in that exhaust.
Yep.
Because where you have it mounted right now is on that curve of the toboggan.
Yep.
And so as you're pulling it, you may plow some snow right into it. So maybe a plug or something.
Which I can put an exhaust pipe on there, too. I have a goofy,
big, long
exhaust on it.
And maybe it's just worth bringing with you.
And put a little Y over.
Because what if we run into some powder? Because it's supposed to snow next week.
Yep.
If we run into some powder on the Mississippi, I don't want to be plugging that sucker up.
Yep. Good point.
Maybe we're just bring that along just to put it on there just so that it keeps out of the snow.
Yep.
Otherwise, it seems like a super solid unit.
See, I was thinking about just doing a little snippet of that exhaust pipe and just run it over to the side.
Whatever.
A section this long, just enough to turn it sideways.
Whatever, just to keep
something
snow from packing into it.
Yep.
I don't care.
Yep, yeah. Agreed.
Otherwise, very impressed with the unit so far. Yeah.
Pretty sweet.
And the remote control
is
just overkill. Like, it's ridiculous that they even have it.
So they basically figured out, hey, we could just add this cheesy remote and make it wireless.
That's a wireless remote.
Yeah, so you can. It's like a little key fob, like keyless entry thing.
Turn
on, off.
Turn her down.
Plus and minus.
Yeah.
It's like, all right. So
that's
sweet.
Funny.
Turn it on from anywhere.
We'll have to test the range on that.
You should try it out.
Because, it'd be super slick at hole hopping. You know, if we're all out, well, just turn the heat down in the shack.
Yep.
And then, I think it's about time for lunch. Let's
fire it up some more.
Turn up the heat a little bit before we head back.
Yep.
Yeah, that'll be slick.
Yeah, so it's been something I've been talking about doing for a long time. I just got it in me. I'm like, you know what? Let's just try.
How long did it take you to install? From the time you...
It's a couple hours.
We're like, I'm going to do this right now, today, to the time you were done.
Yeah, a couple hours.
Not bad.
And for those of you guys that have kids, too, that was another thing that got me thinking of this. Like, how sweet would it be not to have a buddy heater?
Like a burn finger.
Red hot,
you
know, heater sitting in front of your kid and just have, there's some warm air coming out over here. Cool.
Yeah, so...
You know, you're not going to burn your hand.
On the inside of your shack, is there any, like, hot parts?
No.
Yeah.
No, not at all. No. On the outside, you stick your finger in the exhaust, I guess, but...
You'd have to be like getting down in there and looking at the exhaust to get your finger in there anyways.
Yep. Yep. And it's a dry heat. Real dry.
Yeah, it is. I like that.
So when you come in from the cold and you're all wet, man, that's nice.
Yep. Don't have to worry about things fogging up as much.
No.
Don't have to worry about any
of that. No condensation inside.
Yep.
Oh, that's going to be nice.
Because we've had times where it's almost raining in the shack.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it'll be absolutely slick. Yep. So the old diesel heater. I'm going to say out of a scale 1 to 10, I'm at like an 8.5
on I'm it. At a 9 right now. I've just seen it right now, tonight. This evening is the first time I've seen it. But.
And my wife was giving me crap because she's like, well, you got to get it out and run it for a while. Like, it could die next week.
Yeah, well, it could. Yeah, that's why I said I wouldn't take it, you know, on a 4-day tundra trip.
I'd still feel good about how it was before that. Yep. It's just awesome. Yep. It's cool. Yep.
Legit package.
Diesel-powered Otter.
After this weekend, we'll have a better review, I think.
And then we'll touch on it. I'm excited to try it on the Mississippi trip because that's going to be like getting out, really running our equipment hard for multiple days.
The sunflower still just in case it shits out. But I need one for my shack.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, so the old buddy heater, man, and freeing up fishing room, having fishable space.
Yeah, that's huge. Hit on.
You can look out sitting in your shelter with the diesel heater, pumping heat on your leg.
Yeah. Now you don't have to worry about burning nothing in your canvas.
Yep.
You don't have to worry about the buddy heater catching on fire. It seems like that. I see a post on Facebook about that all the time. New buddy heaters catch on fire all the time.
Yeah. That and melting your rod tip, burn your line off.
Yeah, or the
melted all kinds of stuff on there.
The fish splashes water onto the buddy heater and puts it out and all sorts of stuff. And
the only problem is we're not going to be able to cook on the buddy heater.
We never did anyways.
Well, I tried. It didn't turn out very good.
It's a hoax that people really cook much on there anyways.
Yep.
Yeah. It takes hours
to
cook a sausage.
And then you burn some.
Yeah, and then you burn it.
Yep.
Or you get grease dripping on the thing and it burns the whole bastard down.
Yeah, so I'm pretty much over propane now. I'm good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Electricity use it for and diesel. Cooking.
That's fine. Do a little fish fry on it.
Yeah. Well, maybe next we'll go to coal.
A couple lumps of coal in there.
And a coffee
coal
can.
Furnace.
A couple lumps of coal in a coffee can.
Yep. It just feels like a really cool upgrade to do.
Yeah.
Where, like, this is the pinnacle of the Otter technology. I got the thermal shelter, and I got this little diesel heater that doesn't take anything to run.
Yep.
And I'm just out there, and it'll be comfortable.
Yeah.
So.
Whining on the... You need to get a little turbo put on her.
We could. We could do that.
Get a little whine to it.
Add a little fan in there. Yep. Well, good deal, Brett.
As we've been talking, we've got at least two more questions about the diesel heater.
Oh, good deal.
What do I got on here?
I figured people get fired up.
Can't wait to hear about it. How many BTUs?
Yep.
That's it.
We'll have to do a little watts to BTU conversion.
Yep. Got to do some math.
Yep. It's probably not all that much.
No.
I don't know. I think it's pretty efficient. That's from what I can tell. How much fuel goes in and how much heat you get out, it's efficient.
Yep.
You know, a buddy heater is heating up some ceramic tiles that just radiate heat off of.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yep.
I just think it's pretty slick. So I'll keep it running. We'll keep you guys posted on it. You know, not just going to forget about it.
No.
Because, if something happens,
I'll let everybody know. You know if it shits out.
Absolutely.
That's for sure.
For the money, maybe I'll just buy another one. Swap another one in.
Ooh, actually put two in there. One on my side, one on your side.
There you go. Really get her cranking. Two dueling fuel pumps. Click, 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 click.
Now we got to get them synced.
Yeah.
So they click at the same time.
Could probably figure something out. One controller, two heaters.
Yeah.
Cool. Good deal. Awesome, man. That's a good episode.
Yeah. Are you good?
Oh, I was going to wrap it up.
Oh, that's what I thought you were doing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll catch you next time on
The Short Rod Show.